weekend, our diocese has had a Eucharistic Congress up in Columbia, and probably about close to 80 to 100 people from the from our parish have been there. It's been a wonderful weekend of workshops and talks by priests and other experts and professors dealing with the most holy Eucharist. So this morning I was blessed to be able to be up there, participate, can celebrate in the Mass and a Eucharistic procession. It was an absolutely glorious event. I think if you Google it, you'll see some news reports on it. It was absolutely beautiful. Two bishops, a bishop from the Dominican Republic, our bishop, a lot of priests, many deacons, seminarians, and several thousand people were in the procession. We processed throughout the city of Columbia for better than about a mile. It was an amazing thing, and I think it was an amazing thing for the people of Columbia to see that as well, to see our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament and to see him honored and worshiped in that way. I just want you to know it's very powerful, it was very moving for me and for those who attended. I don't think I will forget the looks on the faces of the people very soon. It's very, very, very special. 8 days ago, we and all the rest of approximately 1.3 billion Catholics throughout the world gazed with wonder and gratitude on the resurrection of our Lord. Today, we turn our eyes back to the little group of apostles who 8 days after Easter Sunday were gathered once again in the upper room. And Jesus appears to them once again in the glory of his resurrected body, effortlessly passing through their locked doors and their hidden fears. The first thing he does is go after the one lost sheep who's kind of astray. He lets doubting St. Thomas touch his glorious wounds, mercifully removing all doubts that had separated him from the rest of this tiny, growing church. And then he looks into the eyes of his apostles, breathes on them, and gives them the power and the task to forgive sins in his name. This was the start of the sacrament of confession, which ever since then has been bringing other stray sheep back to the Good Shepherd's merciful care. Almost 20 centuries after that encounter between Christ and his apostles, in the year 2000, Pope St. John Paul II established the first Sunday after Easter as a universal feast of the church in honor of that divine mercy. In so doing, he was fulfilling a request our Lord himself made in his appearances to the Polish nun, St. Faustina Kowalska. Just the thought of Christ's mercy fills us with confidence and hope, or at least it should. But it should also fill us with humility. If Christ is so eager to spread the good news about his boundless mercy, it's because we need his mercy. It's because sin is a reality in our lives and in our world, and sin causes real damage that only Christ can repair. This is the tough side of God's mercy, if you will, the reality of sin. I'll say that again. This is the tough side of God's mercy, the reality of sin. The connection between sin and mercy helps explain why Jesus had to suffer so much in order to save us. If he hadn't suffered as much or more than we suffer, we wouldn't be able to trust him and to follow his example. But since he suffered so much and still continued to love and to forgive, even the hardest of hearts can find hope and life in Christ. Years ago, a parish priest wrote about an experience where he learned this truth in a very powerful way. He called on an older man who was dying. The man was hanging on to his life with all his might because he didn't feel ready to die. When he was a little boy, he had been horribly beaten, almost to the point of death, by a man who was supposed to be taking care of him. And he had nurtured an intense hatred for that man for the rest of his life. He told the priest that because of his bitterness, for all those years, he had not been able to pray, not even once. He also admitted that for all those years, he couldn't bring himself to go near a church. An incredible case of anger had been festering in that man's soul down throughout the years. The priest continued to visit with him, talking to him about a man named Jesus, who had also been beaten to the point of death, but who, instead of expressing hatred for those who beat him, he actually forgave them. And three or four visits later, when the priest walked into the old man's room, before he could even say, "Good morning," the man said, "I did it last night. Last night, I forgave him, and for the first time, I prayed." By the next morning, the old man had died. God's mercy is powerful, and it needs to be, because our sins are very real. We all need to be reminded of these difficult truths, because life in this world can get very distracting. And the reminder that our Lord is giving us today will bear fruit in our lives if we follow what might be called the basic fundamentals of divine mercy. First is to ask for mercy. The best way to ask for mercy for ourselves is through the sacrament of confession, entrusted to the church on this very day 2,000 years ago. Here's what Jesus told Saint Faustina about confession. Perhaps you've heard it before, maybe you haven't, but it bears repeating. Jesus told Saint Faustina, "When you approach the confessional, know this, that I myself am waiting there for you. I'm only hidden by the priest, but I myself act in your soul. Here the misery of the soul meets the God of mercy." And that's from her diary, 1602. But we can also ask for mercy for others, especially for praying for those who don't believe or trust in Christ's mercy. So are you asking for mercy for yourself and for others? Second thing is to be merciful. Jesus told Saint Faustina, I demand from you deeds of mercy. You are to show deeds of mercy to your neighbor always and everywhere. This means doing good things for others, not because they deserve it or to get a reward, but simply in order to follow in the footsteps of our merciful Lord. So do you feel God's mercy in your life? Day by day, do you show that mercy to those who surround you, to those you encounter? But where can we find the strength to do that? We must completely trust in Jesus. Jesus himself will give us his grace if we let him and if we ask him for it. He will make us into ambassadors of his mercy, just as he did with the first apostles. Whenever we are afraid to ask for mercy, whenever we feel too weak to be merciful, we should simply pray the prayer that Jesus told Saint Faustina to write underneath the image of his divine mercy, "Jesus, I trust in you." And may we start right now, this afternoon, during this Mass, when we receive the fountain of mercy himself in the most holy Eucharist.